In the name of Jesus, amen. The text is the portion of scripture just read. In Proverbs chapter 31, the good wife or the perfect bride is described as opening her mouth with wisdom, and in her tongue is the Torah, the law of grace. But Torah of grace. She knows the law of Moses from the point of view of grace. I'm certain that's what Jesus had in mind when he said, Moses wrote of me. For instance, undoubtedly she knew Genesis 3:15, the seed of the woman who would come and crush the enemy's head and abolish sin and death and all evil. Her speech is then characterized by that grace. I guess we could legitimately say that she would teach her family the simple truth that Jesus loves them. She could easily have sung with her children, Jesus loves me, this I know, for the Bible, although she had only a small portion of it compared with what we have, for the Bible tells me so. That's how she understood the Torah. My oldest son attends Hebrew Union School in Cincinnati. It's a school owned and operated by a Jewish people. And he says that he has never come across scholars or scholarship to compare with what he has experienced there. He insists that they know more about the Old Testament, its language and its customs, than perhaps anyone else in the world. They know everything, he says, every jot and tittle, literally. Now, perhaps that's an exaggeration, but certainly by reputation, these men are among the best Hebrew and Old Testament scholars that a person could want to study under. And yet, he says, sadly, with all that knowledge, with all that they know, they still do not understand the Old Testament at all. The Pharisees in our text were like that. They were the scholars of the Old Testament, and in particular, the Law of Moses. And yet they were blind to the real content of the Torah. They were legalists. They put the emphasis on the externals, on the external form. But they really didn't know anything about the inner spirit. They knew all about doing the works of the law. But they really knew nothing at all about fulfilling the law, that is, doing it with the right motive and in the right spirit. By the mere works of the law, there shall no flesh be justified in his sight. The substance, the nourishment, the life in the Word of God escaped them. They literally kept the shell, and they threw away the kernel, the good part. Or perhaps even better in this context, they kept the husks in the chaff. And then they threw away the grain, the food. To them, mere observance of the law was more important than the content of the law, which was God's mercy. These stubborn, self-righteous people knew nothing of God's mercy toward their fathers, under their leader Moses, or toward them. And here in this text, Jesus, in his heart of hearts, really wants them to learn of that mercy. He yearns for that. These people should have been put to death. They should have been given swift death then and there. That's what they deserve. They were offending God with every breath. You think to yourself, why didn't he just flame out and incinerate them? I guess that's what I would have done. I think I would have been like James and John, who wanted to call down fire from heaven and consume the Samaritans. That would have taught them. But Christ genuinely wants them to learn what they should have known already. And his argument here in the text is from the greater to the lesser. The Torah, in fact, all of the Old Testament, views favorably the acts of both David who ate the showbread, which was only for the priests, and the priests themselves, who profaned the Sabbath by performing their priestly functions, working on that day. They were accounted blameless, Jesus says in this text. Now, if David and the priests were accounted blameless, the greater, then certainly the simple lawful act of plucking grain and eating it on the Sabbath, the lesser, should have been permitted too. But these Pharisees are trying to crucify the disciples' consciences and Christ's own conscience too. And if Christ had given in to this temptation by the devil, to this legalism, all would have been lost, the gospel too. I guess the same is true of the disciples eating with unwashed hands. In Matthew chapter 15, the Pharisees criticized that, and really that's what the Judaizers were trying to do in Acts chapter 15, where they insisted on circumcision. And then Paul in Galatians talks about people who came in to spy out our liberty in Christ, and then Paul would not give in to that legalism, not for one hour. And now Jesus was this very God of mercy standing in their midst. He had been gracious and merciful to them. He had been long-suffering to these rebellious and stubborn people throughout their entire history. He had mercy on them. He was the prophet like Moses, whom God had raised up, to whom they should have listened. Listen, Moses pleaded with the Lord for these people. Pardon, I beseech thee, the iniquity of this people according to the greatness of thy mercy, Moses says. And as thou hast forgiven these people from Egypt even until now. As far as I'm concerned, really that's the way to understand the entire Pentateuch. It's the key to a proper understanding of the Pentateuch. As thou hast forgiven this people from Egypt even until now. Moses once said to them, you have been rebellious against the Lord from the day that I knew you. As thou hast forgiven this people from Egypt even until now. These rebellious, stubborn people were forgiven people. And now New Testament Israel gets to see this God of mercy in the flesh. Stubborn, stiff-necked as we are, selfish, self-serving legalists who stand apart from the publicans and sinners of this world. I thank thee that I'm not like other men. Extortioners, unjust, adulterers. I tithe, I fast, I keep the Sabbath. People like us who parade our own righteousness, holier than thou, trying to get people to behave as we think they should, trying to force them into some preconceived mold, become images of ourselves. People who see the mote in our brother's eye but fail to see the beam, the log in our own. We are privileged to hear this prophet who is like Moses and yet not like Moses at all. Hear him plead for the people. Father, forgive them. Father, forgive them. He is kind and good to the unthankful and to the evil. He said to the disciples, if you then being evil, and he says it to us too, if you then being evil, and he doesn't argue the point, he simply says it straight out. If you then being evil, know how to give good gifts unto your children, shall not the Heavenly Father give good gifts, the Holy Spirit, to them that ask him? And with that Holy Spirit, forgiveness and righteousness and health and peace and life, everything else. Father, forgive them. Here is the mercy of God embodied. Here is where we learn mercy. This is the mercy that endures forever. This is the sacrifice with which God is well pleased. Here is the righteousness that exceeds the righteousness of the scribes and Pharisees, the only righteousness that avails before God. He did it all. He did it all with the right motive and in the right spirit. He kept every jot and tittle, fulfilled it all. And he did not do that for himself, but for us. The God of mercy has appeared. Today, the Holy Spirit pleads. Today, if you will only hear his voice, harden not your hearts as in the provocation. In Exodus 33, the chapter just after the incident of the golden calf, in which the children of Israel had sinned terribly, horribly, he still says to these, his people, who had forsaken him for an image, for an idol, for another god, sinning against the first commandment, thou shalt have no other gods before me. To these people, he says, my presence shall go with you as you travel toward the promised land, and I will give you rest. Lo, I am with you all the way, even unto the end of the world. What great mercy. I will give you sinners rest. The Sabbath has always been about rest. Come unto me, all you that labor and are heavy laden, under a huge burden of sin and guilt. Come unto me, and I will give you rest. The Lord of the Sabbath is speaking, and the pardon he speaks, the forgiveness of sins he declares, sets hearts and consciences at rest. And finally, there remains an eternal rest, the everlasting Sabbath for the people of God, for us on whom he has had mercy as long as he has known us. This is the mercy which Christ wants Pharisees to learn, and who wouldn't want to learn it? It's why you've come here. May God graciously grant that throughout your entire stay here, you will learn that mercy, and throughout your entire life and ministry, proclaim it for his dear son's sake. Amen.